Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Yeah, we representing WATAZP. Yeah. Check it out, y'all. Yo, back when I was younger, for knowledge I thirsted and hunger, was sucking up like a plunger, but yet and still I would wonder, when people holler in their minds, are they thinking dollars is like rocking a sore throat, kid, hard to swallow as a brain power weak and mind decreased. I'm thinking on shrill chatter, presidents deceased, but somehow we need to move just a little higher, looking at our desires and somehow get inspired. And the reason that I'm even here today is cause I had a couple things I wanted to say, like for real, if you wanna open your mind and be free, listen to WATAZP with my man Taz and DJ Stroke, cracking a couple of jokes and rocking mad music, poking fun at all the people that they wanna, because you know that we are really gonna have fun, couple of laughs, some good times, the way that I come through and drop rhymes, people be looking at me cause I don't smoke lines, I don't snort lines, I keep it true, I'm about to do this in a freestyle type of mode, but yet and still I don't rock platinum or gold, I just got a nice watch and a wristband, and that's all I really need, man, is little love, you know what I'm saying, spread the love, spread the love, know what I'm saying, yeah, spread the love, yeah, all up in the place to be, WATAZP, yo.
TAZP, ATAZP, another TAZ production on Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, TAZ. That was my cousin, J-Bug, putting it down a little bit for the kids, you know what I'm saying. Area code 727, identify yourself.
This is Sylvia Jordan, better known as T-Lo.
What's up, cuz? This is my cousin, y'all. This is Sylvia Jordan. Better known as T-Lo, like she said. How you doing, cuz?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing great. 248, I already talked to you already, but identify yourself again. Area code 248.
Hi, this is Indigo Portress.
What's up,
hello,
Indigo?
Everybody.
How you doing? Good to have you on the show, for real,
I'm
for real.
I'm doing good. Glad to be here.
Ain't talked to you in 80 years. We need to catch up for real. Good talking
right,
to you.
Right.
Way up in Detroit. And area code 240. Area code 240. I guess I know who this is. Go on and identify yourself. Z Talk, baby.
What's up, Taz? This is Ant Man. What's up, man?
Co-host, Ant Man in the house. Tonight we are doing Night Court. And Night Court is where I pick different topics, and we give our own verdict in this court. Gots to go down means guilty, and keeping it real means innocent. Today's date is July 11th, 2013. So it's 07-11-2013. Is the docket number for tonight's court. And court is in session tonight. This is the question is 01. And, of course, it's dealing with the Trayvon situation down there in Sanford, Florida. And I know Ant-Man is real passionate about this, so I'm asking you, Ant, when I come to you, hold your tongue. Just question. I know it's real passionate for you, bro. Real passionate. I want to know, the first question I want to know, and it's only dealing with Trayvon, was he wrong on that night when he was fatally shot and killed? I'm going to start with my cousin, T-Lo.
Was who wrong?
Trayvon. Was he wrong? Was he in the wrong? And anything that he did that night when he got killed.
No, I don't. He wasn't. He was going. See, I get frustrated.
He just as passionate as you, and
so.
I could feel it in her heart. I feel the passion.
Oh,
good
Lord.
I know you said
yeah.
you didn't.
I just recently moved to Florida, so it's just really crazy here and the way people respond and talk. But no, he was no, he wasn't wrong. He was just a young male, happened to be African American, going to the store, walking through a neighborhood, and that's all he was doing. So I don't know if that's wrong. I don't know where I grew up that wasn't wrong, so no.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it wasn't like he pulled out a weapon or a gun or anything like that, you know what I'm saying? So
no.
Basically, it's obvious that it was a racial profiling situation.
Right.
You know.
Brother Ant. I hold your tongue, bro, because I know you real woozy. You real wet on this subject. I can tell.
I'm trying my best not to raise my voice or the cuss on radio. This is how
just
it is.
A yes
okay.
or no. I mean, I know I already know what you're gonna say. But go on.
Yeah,
express yourself, bro.
He didn't do anything wrong. This George Zimmerman is a coward. You can tell that he can't fight. From his own statements, you can tell he can't fight. But no, Trayvon didn't do anything wrong. I mean, if wearing a hoodie is cause for you to be wrong, especially if they said it was raining that night, so of course he's going to wear his hoodie. You know what I'm saying? So if carrying a bag of Skittles and carrying a can of juice is considered wrong, then George Zimmerman was right, but we all know that he's a base coward, and he was wrong. So no, Trayvon.
That even makes
wrong.
It worse,
right?
That makes
yeah.
that makes it like 100 times worse.
Because that,
but you know
that sound, Skittles and juice. Oh my goodness, right?
But you know what? I was just thinking about something. Look at what that child looks like. His appearance, okay? He has such a very young, babyish type of appearance. His demeanor is not intimidating.
No.
He doesn't have an intimidating demeanor at all. I mean, he looked very clean cut, all of that. I mean, you could tell when somebody has an intimidating demeanor about themselves.
Yes.
And he did not at all, and I've never met him in person. Just by looking at all the pictures I've seen, I'm like, oh my goodness, he looks like he's about 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
10 or 11. He looks younger than what he was.
And
so,
I work with a lot of juvenile delinquents and mental health patients, and I work with a young man, and he has an intimidating demeanor. And sometimes when I go by, and I'm like, oh, Lord. And it's a difference, like you said. You can tell people who try to intimidate and come across like that. And like you said, Trayvon does not have that at all. So he didn't appear
yeah.
to have that at all from any of his pictures or from what people said. And it's a
yeah,
difference.
Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
The
it's
next
like
question.
Like
the
it's
next.
Yeah, you can really tell. It's
mm-hmm.
like.
The next question. This is still pertaining to the. The same question almost. A lot of people on our radio been saying that this is almost like the OJ trial. And to me, I don't think so. I'm going to give my opinion on this one. But to me, I do not think so. So remembering what you can about the OJ trial, I know some of y'all probably was, you know, probably young. I ain't going to say nothing indigo, but y'all probably was glued by.
I was glued to the TV.
I was glued to the Y'all were probably a little young, might not remember, you know what I'm saying, but a lot of people on radio are saying this is almost like the OJ trial where people are waiting to see what happens so something can happen after the verdict.
Right.
So y'all feel like it's the OJ trial. Again, I'm starting with my cousin T-Lo.
I think with the media coverage, it is close to that. And I think with the evidence is close to that because they're saying, did O.J. have the right? It wasn't enough evidence to convict, and they're saying the same thing with George Zimmerman. You know what I'm saying? With the evidence piece of it, the racial piece of it, black-white piece of it in such a high profile case. not that any of them were famous, but it, like, it's such the media coverage and the racial part of it. I think that's why. And the evidence piece of it, they're saying, you know, I think those all of those pieces relate like that. But I think it's because it's so racially tense, like it was with the O.J.
Right.
trial. Yeah, I think that's why.
Indigo? Is this like
ooh,
the O.J.
that's
trial?
That's kind of sticky for me to say that. I mean, I would say maybe based on the media coverage, because they're actually making money off of it, getting ratings and all that, which is something else. But on the other hand, you know, with the O.J. trial, that situation right there, I mean, I got my own opinions with that. I mean, I'd really get it, so, you know, with him. So
no,
that was
well,
a little different.
No,
do you
I don't think
so,
Ant? No. These are two completely different and separate issues. I mean, first of all, O.J. Simpson was well known. You know, he's an athlete. He was a spectacular football player. So his was a little bit more high profile, and all the things that went down with him with the Bronco chase and all that stuff. And you know, I think it's a completely different situation. What I do believe is the reason why this case is so such a high profile case in the first place is because of the Stand Your Ground law. That's the reason why I think this is going so high, because there's other cases in Florida that have the same thing. They did a couple of comparisons with a woman who just shot her weapon
in the air.
Yeah, in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And she got, what, 20 years?
20 years. She got 20 years.
So, right. So I think it's not the same. This is more about Stand Your Ground law. And O.J. was stupid anyway, because O.J. should have been, after you get away with double murder, you should have been out of the state. You should have been out of the country. I'd have been in Tibet somewhere. So I'd have been living in the mountains somewhere. Man, O.J. was dumb. You know,
well,
the
judge is going to give his opinion on this. I believe it's different because, one, the true fact of the Trayvon case is we know George Zimmerman actually pulled the trigger and killed him.
Yes.
We know that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and when you go to the O.J., you got to speculate because nobody don't know.
Right.
I mean, we saying that he did it, but, hey, if you wasn't there watching the slicing going on, you don't know.
But they had evidence with that situation, that the glove, the boots, all
yeah,
that didn't
if
fit.
If the glove didn't quit, you
none,
can't
none
you
of that
quit.
Fit. The boots prints, the glove, none of that fit him.
Right.
Tell me
even though I'm not condoning what they came up with on the outcome. I'm just saying, for the sheer fact, we're going by evidence on OJ's, and we don't know. We don't need evidence on this end. We know
the boy was shot down
by this guy. And
right. And you can't compare it, really. You cannot.
Too clear cut.
Two different, completely different situations.
And even if he got to stand your ground law, I don't care. After you go, when you go into a gunfight and you don't have a gun, somebody else shoots you in your shape. Okay, it's too bad. Then he's liable. He's the one who had the weapon, the cause, by getting out of his car, following him, all that boiled down to starting this thing up. It didn't have to happen. He could
have
stayed in his car.
And even after
when he called in and said he had somebody suspicious in his sights. I mean, he could have did all that and sat down, and we wouldn't even be talking about it right now. We'd be on number two.
Did you know?
I think it's different.
They even told him to get back in his car.
Yes. Did you guys notice the phrase that he used when he was talking about Trayvon? He called Trayvon a suspect.
Right.
This is a would-be wannabe cop You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That goes to show you right there his mindset. When he called Trayvon a suspect, you know, I'm like saying, since when does Neighborhood Watch do this? You know,
yeah,
I'm like, that wasn't his job. Yeah.
That wasn't under his type of description.
Right.
Yeah, and that's exactly what he did. He got on the phone. He called Trayvon a suspect, and that made me highly suspicious right there. How that shows you the mind frame of what he was going through, you know. And then along with the other things that he was saying, like these guys always get away with it, you know. That shows you his mind frame,
right?
You know, and I just thought, you know, from that aspect, you got to find this man good. They're trying to drop his charges down to manslaughter. This man pulled the trigger out and killed this kid, and they want to drop it down to manslaughter.
Manslaughter. Mm-hmm.
But you already know
God,
if it was a different type of situation. If it
and
was,
I'm gonna
if,
tell you, the only reason I agree with it is because I want dude to get some kind of time. I don't want him to flat walk out and be able to go to club with me tomorrow. You know what I'm saying?
Because if they don't give him manslaughter, he'll definitely walk. Yeah.
It still wouldn't be justice. It still wouldn't be justice.
I understand that, but
you know,
we got to get some, bro.
Even if he goes to jail for manslaughter, it would not be justice. Trayvon's parents would not have justice. Trayvon's family would not have justice. You know what I mean? It wouldn't be right. This man.
And I knew this. It was heavy on Ant's heart. I knew it was heavy because, like I said, I read your post, bro, and there was weeping in your post. So I knew it was heavy.
Now I've got a question. I'm curious to know that if it was a Caucasian kid walking down the street and it was a black security guard or cop that said those same things and said that the kid was suspicious, you know, and shot him or something like that, where do you think that cop would be? Do you think that cop the guy was a security guard, but imagine that even if he was a cop, right, where would he be?
It wouldn't even be a question. Somebody had put that post, and they had put Trayvon's face, but they had made it white, and they put George Zimmerman's face, and they made it black. And they said, if it was like this, what would happen? And, of course, I mean, it wouldn't even be a question of what would happen. We wouldn't even be going through this.
He would have been in jail.
There wouldn't have been no trial. It wouldn't have been no trial.
And that's what we're saying. It wouldn't have been a trial. It wouldn't have been a question. He would have gotten the maximum sentence.
Yeah.
Yep.
It would have been playing.
I feel sorry for the parents because there's no real justice in this situation.
Yeah.
If it was a black dude that shot and a white kid, they would have been playing that song by KC and JoJo, Life. That's what they would have been
playing. Life, exactly. Because this man was chasing this boy down. I mean, I don't understand even what the question is. Of why are we even going through this?
Because George Zimmerman is a liar and George Zimmerman is a coward.
and that's it. We're going to end it right there. I'm on question number two. What subject? Praise God. Different subject. The writing
what?
Was on the wall
you know
for
what?
Convicted drug dealer Terry Bennett. He's going into jail next week if he doesn't finish a 5,000-word essay on the dangers of marijuana. Bennett, 32, from the UK, was caught with more than 2 pounds of cannabis and admitted possession with intent to supply. Bennett, who lives with his mom, was sentenced to 240 hours of unpaid work, but claimed a snowboarding injury made that impossible, according to the Metro. Judge Lambert came back with an alternative sentence, a 5,000-word essay on the dangers of drugs and their effect on society. My question is for the court, if this cat writes like about 3,500 words, should he go to jail? It's not meeting the 5,000-word criteria by the judge. So that's my question. I'm starting with Brother Ant.
since he left.
That's the funniest thing I ever heard.
Wait, I'm not even understanding this.
Okay, Taz, reach
out with marijuana.
He has to write an essay and he won't.
Yeah.
And he won't go to jail for 12 months. He either go to jail for 12 months or writes the essay of 5,000 words. I'm asking the court, if this cat comes up short, even if he comes up short by 10 words, should he go to jail? I'm starting with Brother Ann.
Is this a white boy?
Yeah, this is in the UK.
Okay.
I pulled it up on the net.
Okay.
He needs to go to jail because he did not live up to his end of the bargain.
There you go. I got a ding for go to jail. I'm going with Indigo. Indigo, what do you think?
I mean, you know, hey.
Let him go.
I'm not going to say he should go to jail, but I mean, you know, hey.
Well, we ain't asking you.
If it was me, I would get them words done.
Well, then in other words,
I would go ahead and get them words done, so it wouldn't even be a question. So I think he should, you know, do what he got to do.
T-Lo.
Definitely. If you can't write 5,000 words instead of going to jail, if you miss it by 2 words, you're going to jail. Because if that's all you have to do to stay out of jail, yeah, go to jail.
That's the funniest thing I heard.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
It's a unanimous vote on that one. Question three. Mayfield Heights, Ohio. Police in Cleveland suburb of Mayfield Heights know they're not allowed to use checkpoints to search drivers and their cars for drugs. So they're trying the next best thing, fake drug checkpoints. Police in a city of 19,000 recently posted large yellow signs along Interstate 271 that warned drivers there was a drug checkpoint ahead to be prepared to stop and that there was a drug sniffing dog in use. There was no such checkpoint, just police officers waiting to see if any drivers would react suspiciously after seeing the signs. Authorities say that 4 people were stopped with some arrests and drugs seized. They declined to be more specific. My question for the court is, do you think the police were wrong with these fake drug checkpoints? Because I know, I'm going to give you a personal experience. I didn't feel like stopping. I didn't have no drugs in the car. And kid was trying to go to a gas station so he could use the bathroom. And they had the roads blocked ahead, and I did a U-turn. I was like, man, I ain't going this way. I ain't got time to be talking. Okay, that's my personal opinion. I'm not going to sway the court in no way. I will start with my cousin T-Lo.
Right, I wouldn't stop if I didn't. That's ridiculous. And they're saying stop.
They had, what they did was they set up fake checkpoints and they put a sign up ahead saying there was a checkpoint, but there really wasn't. And they were on the side watching what people did. And obviously,
to see how they would react, to see if he got nervous.
The checkpoint, and that's when they stopped him.
Oh, that's so ugly. No, I would probably do like you, a U-turn. I'm not stopping. I'm not doing that, yeah.
My question is, you think the police was wrong for doing this?
Yeah,
Or were they right?
I think they're wrong. I think that's wrong.
I'm talking to Brother Ant.
Hold on a second. There's a doggone dog. Sorry, y'all.
Go to Indigo.
I'm over at my sister's house.
Indigo.
No, but
Yeah. Wait a minute, Ann. I'm going with Indigo. You calm Lassie down. Do you believe that they were wrong for setting up these big checkpoints?
Well, I mean, honestly, it can go either way to me because, you know, really, you know what I'm saying, you don't want nobody who's, you know, driving around who's under the influence or anything like that, you know what I'm saying, because that's how a lot of accidents happen. And if people don't really got nothing to hide, then they shouldn't have a problem stopping. But, you know, I don't know, I guess it's just a way for them to just get more money. you know?
Well, Brother Ant, you got the tiebreaker on this. Were they wrong or were they right?
Preach it wrong. I don't care what nobody says. They're wrong. First of all,
there you go.
Really, first of all, first of all, the police is not supposed to. They're supposed to have reason to pull people over. They're not just supposed to just pull you over for you know, for the sake of pulling people over. That's wrong. That's against the law. They are supposed to have a reason to pull people over. And to
isn't
trick
that
like
even standing court?
Yes, that just goes to show you how crooked the system is.
Right.
You know, because the cops, they do everything backwards. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think it's right. It's not right for the cops to do things like that. It really isn't.
It's not right, but unfortunately, that's what they do here all the time. It's like it's a way of life here.
So what happens?
It's another way.
But it's all over. But no, it's all over. It's another way for them
to get their quota.
But that's what I'm saying, though. When you go to court and you talk about the stop, was that a legal stop or an illegal stop? So does it even stand in court when they do go to court with that stop?
Well, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is, it's their word against yours. You'll be the one in the wrong.
Because
I've tried to fight stuff like that being stopped, and I really hadn't done nothing, and I still had to pay the ticket.
Well, no, I mean that's how it all is though. I mean, I've been stopped before too. I've done everything correctly, but they still stop me anyway. But the thing is, they're not supposed to. They shouldn't do it, but they'll say we're suspicious. Yes, they're supposed to be suspicious.
That's what they'll say.
Right. If they don't have suspicion to pull you over, then they gotta let you go. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know what would make them think that they could get away with whatever they did with this or whatever. I think it's wrong. But then again, I think pretty much everything that the police do is wrong anyway. So that just goes to show you where my mind is at.
Question number four.
Well, all black
this
people
is,
look suspicious. We all look suspicious if we're black.
That's why you have tinted windows.
I probably shouldn't have said that, but really that's how it is where I'm at. In the area where I live, where I'm from, it's very, it's something else. If you go across the street on the other side, you know, where the city is, you know, it's one way, and you go in the suburbs, you're going to get stopped.
That's horrible.
If you just cross the street.
Case number four. In New York, a Roman Catholic nun has been sentenced to 90 days in jail for stealing nearly $130,000 from two Western New York parishes to support a gambling addiction. Sister Mary Ann Rapp also was ordered at Monday since to perform 100 hours of community service and repay $128,000. Rapp pleaded guilty to grand larceny in Orleans County Court in April. The 68-year-old admitted stealing from St. Mary's Church and St. Mark's Church in Kendall from 2006 to 2011. The thefts were discovered during an audit. My question is, shouldn't the church be held liable for not filing this out earlier? This is 2013 she got arrested in, but it was going on from 2006 to 2011. Shouldn't the auditor be held liable for something? That is my question. I'm going with T-Lo first.
Yeah, who's doing the books is what the problem is. Yeah. No one was doing the audits before?
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I think somebody needs to talk to the person who's doing the books. Yeah, the accounting department. They need to check into that, too. Because if that was happening in 2006 and it's 2000, yeah, that's a problem. And I know every place that I went, they had an audit like they were doing audits like every 6 months. And then, yeah, so in big companies and big places like that, yeah, they They need to talk to their accounting department.
Especially when he got to the four digits.
Anytime you're dealing in that type of money, they need to talk to their,
He got to $130,000. Indigo Poet, what do you think? Should the auditor be in trouble too?
Well, I mean, people need to be held accountable, you know, for stealing from the church. It's not right.
Well, I mean, I got that, but I'm just saying the person that was counting the money beforehand to make sure that this happened, should they be held liable too? Because
they're dipping in the pot. It's obvious.
It must be
that
getting
is.
I don't
because
know.
I don't understand that. Like, I'm a PK. I know every week they're counting that money. They don't play in the church.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
God.
They're on it. They're like counting and doing, and they count that money weekly, so I don't understand how they made that, how that passed through like that.
That's for real.
They probably just have to do a real investigation to find out whose hands the money's been going through.
Yeah, maybe that's why it took so long to figure out who was doing it.
Brother Ann. To the auditor be liable.
I don't think it's going to take them, though. What is it? That happened in 2006? It's going to take them those 7 years. That's a long investigation. You know, I think they're trying to get everybody from the past on down. So, that's involved. Everybody, we're going to close this church down. Maybe leave the church folks alone. anybody that had their hand, anybody that had their hand in it, you know, the accounting department. Even if it's a pastor, assistant pastor, if they had their hand in it, then yeah, they all need to be held accountable for it. You know, I mean, that's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff, so that's how.
Case number five. The woman who became an internet sensation by auctioning off her virginity for $780,000 now says she was tricked and exploited and that she's still a virgin. Katharina, and I can't even say her last name, Malagaria, 21-year-old from Brazil, told the Huffington Post by email that the highly publicized internet auction last October, organized by filmmaker Justin Sicily, has turned into a giant fiasco. I felt I was a victim. I was misled by Justin Sicily, she said. I believe he is trying to defraud me and others. Sicily was supposedly filming a documentary called Virgins Wanted, which would explore the lives of a couple of females and along with their male counterparts who also was auctioning his virginity. A 53-year-old Japanese millionaire identified himself online and placed the winning bid for Katharina. But when she met him in a restaurant in Sydney, Australia, he didn't match the description Sicily gave her, nor did they ever have sex. What's more, she claimed Sicily didn't cover her expenses or give her money for the trip promised. Should the guy, the 53-year-old Japanese millionaire, should he be liable and pay her some kind of gratuity? That's the question to the court. Brother Ant?
I don't think so. I mean,
I agree.
I don't think so at all. I mean, it's obvious to me that she's lying. I think that the issue is that she's lying. First of all, I mean, everything that she's saying, you can tell that she's lying just to cover her own butt. You know, so it's a far different cry though from Superhead though, isn't it, Taz?
For real. Do you think he should pay her, or this is a man's point of view? Now, I'm going to a woman now. Indigo, do you think Coming over there to see him in Australia.
you don't want me to say what I really want to say on radio.
Don't say it. Natural. Be yourself.
Ooh, I can't do it because there's going to be some profanity in my words.
Well, calm them down. But say what you're going to say. Say what you're going to say, but calm all them X's and O's out of them.
Be better get my money. That's all I got.
So we're divided right now. And I'm going to go to my cousin T-Lo to break this tie right now and say, no, you shouldn't pay. She's a, yeah, yeah. What do you say, T-Lo?
Give me my money.
Thank you.
Give me my money.
I heard about this case, honey. I heard about it. I understand
Ann's point of view, but I understand y'all's point of view as well because she's too old in there to see the cat. He didn't look like he was supposed to look. Oh, no. At least could have paid for something.
Right. Exactly.
I ain't buying no drinks. I ain't buying that. You get your vittles. I don't care how you get back.
That's awful. He was just trying to get
purified.
I heard about those cases.
That's terrible.
Trying to get purified by a virgin. That's all he was trying to do. That's awful. Yeah, he needs to pay up.
Ain't nobody told that girl to fall into that trap.
You right about that. Maya just hit me up on Facebook.
I bet you she's going to get the storm. Because that was a highly publicized situation.
Because if y'all remember it correctly, yeah, I read it. Brother Ant, lovely, lovely Maya said we are too funny. She's listening on. I got case number six. A French post office employee had the fight of her life when a metered long 3x3 foot python slithered quickly and quietly out of a parcel and rubbed against her. The woman was alone in the post office in the village, and it's in France, on a Friday evening when she felt the chilling caress, and then she screamed for help. Firemen caught the fugitive reptile and discovered a second one in the parcel. The pair were identified by a vet as ball pythons, non-aggressive snakes that curl up into a tight ball when threatened, and they were donated to the nearby zoo. They're not dangerous, but they're very impressive, an officer said. Ball pythons are popular with snake enthusiasts as pets, but are also protected species for which owners need a legal certificate stating they have been taken from the wild. My question is, should the post office be liable for this? Because it also says the post office stressed that its items and conditions clearly forbid the shipping of animals live or dead. Now, my question is, should the post office be liable for this for it actually going through as a parcel? Now, I know I work at the post office. I'm going to tell you right now, you're supposed to shut it down at the desk. When somebody comes in there, and they be talking about, well, is they live? Is something live? Is it flammable? And you're supposed to say yes or no. Now, if you go on and just go on and ship it through, it should be the post office in fault, and then they can get the person that actually tried to send it. So it's both ways. But that's the way I'm thinking it should be. I only deliver, and I know I ain't delivering no snakes, praise God. We're with Indigo Poetess on this.
Darn right they should be liable. I mean, I just imagine that that happened to me. I would have a heart attack or a stroke. I mean, seeing a big snake like that would just terrify me. Oh, my goodness. Could you imagine if I had a heart attack? Oh, no, I would be totally just scared to death. I don't.
Now, lovely Maya, she's she is a snake enthusiast.
Yes, she is.
Yes, she is, and I know she would agree with. She wouldn't be too scared about the snake, but I don't know how she feel about. Okay, she just wrote, they can't be liable unless they knew. That's what she says. And like I said, if they said yes, I think they still should be liable because they're supposed to check the box or whatever. They're supposed to X-ray the box. So through an X-ray, you could see something moving around, I would assume. Or see something in there that don't look like what they say it is. Brother Ant, is the post office liable?
Damn right they're supposed to be liable. Anything that goes to the post office, they're supposed to be liable. How you going to let some pythons get through your system, man? And nobody check it out. Everybody in that post
That's
office need to be fired.
Mess.
From the head on down, to all of them need to be fired.
Lovely Maya is calling y'all all chickens.
I am.
I'm
going to my cousin.
I already told Maya. I ain't stepping foot in the house. She got two snakes in her house now.
I know. Cousin Tilo, what do you think?
I just moved to Florida, and I'm not understanding these lizards. It was one in my house, and I almost moved out, just a lizard. So let alone a snake. Somebody would have to be liable, and it's the person who sent the package, the post office, everybody. Because, I would pass out.
Something would rub up against me, a snake?
Oh, no. And if, like you said, if they have X-ray machines and all that, it can see through. Oh, yeah, you're liable. And I need some compensation. Yes. And can you imagine seeing that? And you're in the
I would have been and had a heart attack.
It's over.
Like
it's a done deal. And I am a chicken. Yes, and you're Maya's right.
I am not curious. Fortunately, we've had snakes in the barracks when I was in the Army, and I held a couple of them. Now, granted, it was my first time holding one, and. Dude was getting ready, I'm calling the snake dude. He was getting ready to move, and I said, dude, you better go on and get your snake because I know you paid $130, but your $130 would be slammed all against this wall if he moved on my arm again. I meant that. And then one day he was walking in the hallway calling him. I'm like, you lost. Oh, no.
Oh, really?
That's
snake
crazy.
In the barracks. We all slept in there. Oh, man, you know we was looking. I looked through my room extensively.
I know you did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
I'm taking my dog out so she could go to the restroom, needless to say. We got dog problems, too, Aunt.
I had to come outside, man.
Oh, is it that bad?
Yeah, man, that dog don't do nothing but bark, man. I'm over at my sister's house. My sister, that dog don't do nothing but bark.
What kind
of dog?
On
my last nerve, man. Huh?
What kind of dog is it?
One of those little, what do you call them? Shih tzus?
Oh, they bark all the time. They bark all of the time.
Man, it gets on my nerves, too. Hey, what time of the day it is? It could be 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, that dog barking. I'm like, come on, man. I'm ready to go back home, man.
Case number 7. In Hempstead, New York, a Long Island school district has released a summer reading list riddled with spelling errors. F. Scott Fitzgerald, The Great Gatsby, is misspelled The Great Gypsy. And the author... Emily Brontë is listed as Emily Brontë, just all jacked up. According to Newsweek and Newsday, 12 Long Island schools and just a few more, they had 30 errors listed on their readers list. In a statement, a member of New York State Department of Education said the mistakes indicated that a stable administration was essential for children to get a good education. What? Hempstead has had a stable administration for a long time, and the kids are suffering. They definitely are suffering when the spelling in the reader's books is messed up. So my question, again, who's held liable in this case? Is the school district responsible for making this a right, trying to wrong, you know, correct this wrong of all these errors in these reading books? And it's a shame that kids got to go through that. I guess when they do read it, they get extra points for picking out the wrong answers. I can't help it.
Oh,
Jimmy, you're doing well. We can correct. So
awful.
The school held liable for all these mistakes in these reading books. I'm going with Ant-Man.
Amazing.
Well, I think in a situation like this, it's everybody that's involved. You know, when you're dealing with education and you're dealing with children, everything has to be right. You know, teachers have to know that, have to be on point. They got to know their material. You know, and if they can't catch what's going on, then they should be liable.
Right.
Then you think about the principals and all that. It's their school. Then you got to think about the superintendents. You got to think about everybody that's involved that's bringing these books down. You know, it's everybody that's involved needs to be held accountable, because if you're teaching your kids wrong, if you're giving them these books and they got all these errors and all these misspellings in it and all that stuff, it comes all the way from the top down. You know, all
right.
of them are involved.
T-Lo.
Right. I'm agreeing with him. I work at an alternative school, and sometimes they get not the best materials. Some of the books are raggedy, but the teachers taught to the best of their ability. But you don't want to give them misspelled reading books and messed up information. That makes it worse. It's already hard to teach kids in difficult situations, but you cannot give them wrong information. That's just horrible. So you want to present them with the best information that you can give them. But like you said, it starts with the administration. You can't do that. Because I can only imagine if my daughter brought home a book and it's misspelled words, I would be so upset. I would be frustrated. And I'm going to the school board and, like, yeah, and complaining. And, yeah, that's crazy. So the parents.
Lovely Maya said the printers is responsible for that, and it wasn't proofread. Of course it wasn't, with all of the mistakes.
I mean,
all
it
over.
Wasn't, because the printers, and you definitely have to do that. And then you have to, but the school has to look at what's coming into their schools, too.
Exactly.
But with the parents, we have to see what's coming home to their kids,
that's
you know?
That's exactly what I said. That's exactly what I said, you know. If these books are coming, if these books are handed down, okay, you got the school superintendents, you got the board of education, you got all these folks that know that these materials are bad anyway. Kids are not getting educated as well as they should be anyway. First of all, but then when you get all this stuff coming down, and then you get it to the school system, you get it to the high schools or whatever.
Right.
Then the principal is there. He's the head of the school. How did it get past him? Then you got the assistant principals. Then you got, you know, the teachers and stuff. The teachers are supposed to know these materials. If the teachers can't catch this, how are they going to educate our kids?
Somebody needs to catch it. Right.
Somewhere down the line.
Indigo, your two cents. I know you agree, but.
Yeah, I mean, it's bad enough that there's a lot of districts who don't even have enough books to go around to all the students so that everybody can have a reading book. And then you mean to tell me on top of that they're actually, you know, publishing books that aren't correct, you know, misspelled words and all that kind of stuff? What kind of education is that?
Right.
You know, so it's like, really, it's like, what can you expect out of these children if they're not getting the things that they need? You know, so, yeah, it goes straight to the head. Whoever is in charge is messing up, and that's who they need to shift up and shape out, you know, get rid of them, you know.
Exactly.
Put in the right people so these children could be educated properly. That doesn't make
case
any
number
sense.
Eight. number 8. Three people in Grand Rapids, Michigan, who ordered food at a Taco Bell drive-thru in Western Michigan got something more valuable. They got $3,600 in cash.
Mm.
A Taco Bell employee mistakenly passed the cash to the trio instead of their food. The money was returned a short time later. Kendi Wu, WZZM-TV, and MLive.com that she and two friends thought about keeping the money, but they decided they would feel guilty if they didn't return it. Grand Rapids Police Captain Jeff Hurdle confirmed the incident, saying an officer was called to assist them. "I thought it was a joke," said Wu. "I thought we were on camera." The store manager literally just burst into tears. She was so happy when we bought it back. My question is, were they dumb? Were they dumb? Again, were they dumb for bringing this money back?
Well.
Brother Ant. I'm going to start with Brother Ant.
Hell yeah, they was dumb. They did the right thing. They should receive some type of a reward for that. You know, because
at least tacos for the rest of their life or something. Something needs to be going on. Every time they go to Taco Bell, I'd be like, I want a double stack.
I don't know though, because that's like a double-edged sword. I don't know about going to Taco Bell. Y'all remember on Facebook where they had that guy licking all those tacos?
Yeah, I
seen
that.
I ain't seen that.
Oh, I ain't either.
He was licking the tacos before he even sent them out. Oh yeah, I seen that. Oh my god.
Yeah, you know, those are five different guys. I don't know about Taco Bell, but you know,
let me work
some type of reward.
Let me work in the kitchen.
I would have thought the money was a gift.
T-Lo, what do you think about it? Where they
I would say that the Lord is really blessing me, and thank you, Jesus, because my daughter is in college. No, I wouldn't have. I would have returned it. I would have returned it too. You got to reward some other way.
Indigo, this happened in your state. This is your state. Would you have returned it?
I would have thought
it was a gift, to be honest with you. I thought they was, you know, trying to bless me. I was like, oh, this is a sign. You know. Hey.
Yeah, the sign would have been jail. It would have been a jail sign.
They handed the money to me. Obviously, it was an accident or something like that. I mean, I'm not going to say I wouldn't have returned it, because I've returned stuff before. Somebody, you know, it happened to me in a department store, and the head managers were amazed that I brought the merchandise back. You know, it was like a $200, you know, suit, and the girl had charged me only $20 for it, and I was like, I didn't want her to lose her job, but I'm like, something wasn't right. I didn't feel right about it. I took it back, you
wow.
know, but.
Well, you would have took this back, too.
Yeah, I'm sure. Joe. It would have been hard. Who won't like?
Oh,
you would have took it back, too. Okay, I'm going to run through our verdicts on the Trayvon Martin case. Was Trayvon wrong? Everybody said no. We all came to the agreement, no. Is this like the OJ trial? Two of us said yes and two of us said no, so the verdict was even. On the person with the fake, well, the police people with the fake checkpoints, we all said they were wrong. Was the auditor liable at the church? And everybody said yes. The lady with the virginity for sale, we said dude should pay. The post office with the snakes that Maya loves so well, is the post office liable? We all said yes. The books being spelled wrong with the mistakes all the way through, we said the school was wrong as well. And the last one, bringing the money back to Taco Bell, we all kind of agreed. We still was greedy in our own little way. But we all kind of agreed they did the right thing. I want to thank everybody for being on the show. My cousin T-Lo Jordan, a.k.a. Sylvia Jordan.
Hey.
Thank you. And Indigo Poetess, one of the friends that I did a couple of songs and skits with on my new presidential CD. Thank you for coming through. And my regular co-host, Ant-Man. Thank you for coming through as usual.
Thanks. No problem.
Thanks for having me again.
Thank you.
I enjoyed
it.
I'm going to leave y'all with a song by this white dude that does jazz, UG Groove. Get Ready. This is one of my favorite jazz artists right about now. This is called Get Ready. And till next week, we'll see you again on ATAZP Live on Blog Talk Radio.
All right.
Bye, Chef.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.